hater. I'm a fiction terminator. Kavune microphone, tumele stick in his phone, while I'm better hater. Zulu game changer, mother phone game elevator.
Hello, welcome to the Hip Hop African Podcast. This episode features part two of our special interview with South Africa's Sipho Sithole. In this part of the interview, we discuss race and identity in South African hip hop and the spaces within hip hop that black and colored South Africans occupy. So one of the things that I definitely wanted to kind of get into is just looking at how you would describe hip hop in South Africa in terms of geographically, because I've always heard that that Cape Town and Johannesburg especially are very different in terms of hip hop. But then I remember seeing this documentary on YouTube, Pretoria, where they were talking about Cap City this and Cap City that. And so they were talking about, they wanted to kind of like assert this Pretoria identity. I've heard Durban hip hop has its own identity. So could you kind of like, I guess, discuss the variations geographically in South Africa regarding hip hop?
Well, firstly, let me start with Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Town is a very different setting to the rest of the country because Cape Town is dealing with different issues. They are dealing with issues of language and identity and issues of alienation and exclusion, particularly the colored community. And of course, in this country, we've got blacks in general, we call them blacks in general, and then Africans, colored, and Indians in particular. So if you now have to dissect what is described as black, as you would know in America when they talk about affirmative action. So if you talk about affirmative action, it applies to black people.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got the different shades of black. There's the African, which is me.
Mm-hmm.
There's the colored, which is a mixed race. Then there's the Indian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the colored has got its own historical connotation in Cape Town because of first the arrival of Jan van Riebeeck in 1652 and their first encounter with the Khoi and the San and the Xhosa. And then, of course, the mixed races emerging. Now, but Cape Town, not only do you have the issue of just the national question about whether colored are included fully to the social and economic political discourse in the country, or they are only beneficiaries in a particular part of the country. But you also have the issue of social ills in Cape Town, drugs and gangsterism. So you would find that their work will focus more around what is happening in their communities, trying just to deal with the issue of survival on a day-to-day basis, getting kids off the street. I mean, Emil YX has got this Heal the Hood project, which was really meant to get kids out of the street and, you know, be boys and all of that. And but then you have Cape Town dealing with the issue of coloreds being what they call the First Nation, because those that are more conscientized, they would associate themselves more with the Khoi and the San. Because in this country, truth be told, the Khoi and the San are the first inhabitants of this part of South Africa, of Africa, all the way up to Cape Town. So they will always have the issue of fighting for recognition about who they are and all of that. So, but also, I think they have created more of a close-knit community, whether by default or because of the issue that they are facing, and it has not helped them to mainstream themselves outside of Cape Town. We know that they are there. I mean, there are artists that we respect, whether it's Jets Fenger and all of that, who we know are very conscious and rappers and poets. But are they in the are they talk of the town when you talk about hip hop? Not necessarily. Well, there are. I think there are new artists that have come out. I think it's called what, City Gangster? I don't remember. But there's a young artist that has come out.
Youngster CPT?
Gangster CPT. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's now above Cape Town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hip hop. It's just hip hop. You know, it's no longer about, you know, Gangster CPT. But I also, the other issue, which we must say, is that I'll tell you, for instance, when I came to the US and studied there, I hated America and I still hate it today.
Mm.
Yeah, because when we arrived as Africans, the African Americans then sort of automatically adjusted themselves above us to say, oh, at least there's some people who's of lower class. So at least we are better than them. We are sort of closer to the upper class, you know. So they treated us as second class citizens compared to how they had been treated through their own history in America. So if suddenly an African comes, at least now they sort of have this automatic elevation, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, because of the history of South Africa, the white and apartheid has always looked at coloreds as better blacks than us. Mm. So there is also that whole class issue that has been very difficult for social integration, for the cultures to even integrate, you know. So you still talk about the colored community, the Cape Town hip hop. And when you say Cape Town hip hop, it does not mean that there are no Xhosa rappers. There are Xhosa rappers and amazing. So as well, there's Three Man Skape, there's all of these artists there. But because of Cape Town being seen as a concentration of that color, so they sort of more on. And then in Durban and in Johannesburg, I guess Johannesburg has always been more commercialized than the rest of. That's why even the artists who want to break, if they're in Durban, they'd rather move to Johannesburg, because they think that's where they have the chances of success. But you still have those artists that are very authentic, regardless of where they are, whether it's Zagwe in Durban or Zulu Boy, who have always been this genuine. But what they did without, I mean, unintentionally, they are the ones who actually, Zulu Boy for that matter, who made it cool to rap in Vernac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the language was just so beautiful, you know, that everyone started to say, actually, this Vernac thing is not bad, except that when you come to Joburg, it's got differentiations because the Zulu spoken in Soweto is a mix of everything, you know, as opposed to the Zulu spoken and rapped in Durban. Then you had the WHP, Mutswako.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and they came with some of the coolest and I think they had the most amazing rap style and the rhyme is just out of this world. The Mutswako for me is something else, you know, is something else. Of course, but it was only limited to few. And then later on came Kaspar Nyovest, you know, who came way after WHP. I can't say much about Pretoria. I mean, there was a group many years ago called Bafikile, that came from that part of the world. I think they were the earliest pioneers coming from that side. But now Pretoria has just been overshadowed by Amapiano anyway. This new sound called Amapiano, I don't know whether you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest thing in the world. Amapiano is the new genre in South Africa. It has taken the world by all over the world.
And it's rap? It's a form of rap?
Nope.
Okay.
Dance kind of... It's just so something.
Is that the? I remember last time I was there, it was like that. The music with the cue with the.
No, that one is Gom. That is from Durban.
Okay, that's from Durban. Okay.
That was Gom. Yeah.
Okay.
That was Gom. So we have moved from Kwaito to Gom to Amapiano.
Okay.
But the beauty is that hip hop will always be there. All of these genres are coming in and out, but it's just hip hop. Hip hop will always be there. Because even Kwaito. Mm-hmm. has died a terrible death, unfortunately, you know?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, in terms of looking at, I know that the language in terms of the style, in terms of the brand, like the rap style, like Matswako, mm-hmm. It relates to the language you're...
Of the Tswanas. Tswana speaking people, yes.
So is there a term for rap in Zulu?
No, funny enough, it's just there's nothing called Zulu rap. The artists are carrying the rap. I think it's also because in South Africa anyway, any genre, whether it's Kwaito or hip hop and everything, or it's jazz or Afro soul, if it is sung, most compositions are in Zulu because of it's a dominant language in South Africa. We are the majority in terms of population. So okay. it's not anything new to have a song in Zulu, even done by someone who's not Zulu at all.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So okay. In South Africa, I think it's common to compose any song in Zulu because of the dominance of the language. But there is an artist now called Big Zulu.
Hmm.
Big Zulu has come with something, and he's actually coming from Zulu boy influence, except that what he did, he took rap out of the city and made it rural.
Hmm.
And made even someone who's from the rural areas to relate to him because he has a rural disposition, a rural outlook. And he displays a certain culture that we call Inkabi. I don't know how to explain it to you. It's called Inkabi. Inkabi will be a Zulu person who's so rural and like rural as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became this hip hop. It's now like probably the biggest mainstream, not even in a particular community, yeah. Whatever. That's just who he is.
And
he raps and speaks Zulu.
Hmm.
Even if I talk to him, he will never use a single English word, even when we're just talking.
Let me add this. In terms of looking at like the identity factor, because one of the things that it seems to be is that you've got people who are speaking different languages, and it does seem to be more, I don't know, more frequent or more common that you are hearing people rapping in different languages, people who rapping almost exclusively, because I know like Kanye Mavi, Dream and Scott, they rap exclusively in Xhosa. Speak fluently English, they speak English fluently, but they choose to not rap in English. But then you have other artists, you know, who will mix it. Yeah. So it seems to be the artists just kind of, you know, make their decisions in terms of how they will do it. But in looking at the question of identity, because it's so tied to language, that is there any, are there any kind of avenues for groups to kind of, bridge gaps? Because for example, I saw Gigi LeMaine's album, not the most recent one, the one before, she has a song with Youngster CPT. So she's on there, he's on there. You know, I don't know if she's Zulu or not. I don't remember what Gigi LeMaine. I know she's from Johannesburg. But she's got a song on there with him. And so there are these collaborations between Black and colored artists. I haven't seen any or heard in here. Now, mind you, Gigi LeMaine has done songs about, you know, she did a song about the Fees Must Fall. She's done tributes to Winnie Mandela. She's done all these, you know, songs. Youngster CPT has done songs about, you know, Cape Town and, you know, the things that are happening there. I haven't seen anything where artists are kind of like, when I've seen artists talk about xenophobia and kind of, you know, addressing that, I have yet to see anybody kind of saying, hey, you know, let's kind of bridge some of these gaps between us here. And it's almost like if we sweep it under the rug, it won't, you know. Mm-hmm. So do you see that ever kind of being something that's ever kind of directly addressed, or no?
Nah, I don't think it will ever. Because for instance, we have an artist like AKA, who's colored, but I don't think he thinks of himself like that, because he has so immersed himself in the hip hop culture that it doesn't matter, especially because he's in Johannesburg. Maybe if you had been somewhere else, maybe if you was in Cape Town, you'd still be in the same way as the other guys. So, I can't see what is it that will trigger something like that. Let's say, we do talk about social cohesion in this country, and nation building, but it is mainly between blacks and whites. And because the moment you say blacks, you already include the colors and the Africans there. So, but
is there a need for it though? I mean, or is it not, is there not really that tension that there would be? Is there even a need for that conversation?
No, there is no tension. Let me tell you, the only thing that some of us are scared of is to go to some of the colored townships that we know are hardcore because of the gangster and drug gangsterism and drugs that forever in the firing line. I mean, there are communities that you could be struck by a stray bullet because of the controlling of the neighborhood. It's tough. It's quite tough in certain parts of the colored communities, whether it's in Johannesburg or it's in Cape Town. It's more so in Cape Town and Johannesburg. So will there ever be a need where we would say there should be no go areas, whether you are black or white? I mean,
well, just in terms of like addressing like some of the divisions between black South Africans and colored South Africans, or are those divisions even significant?
I think they've been accepted to be what they are. I mean, for instance, I will tell you now that you're not going to see an African and a colored girl in the mall as boyfriend and girlfriend and vice versa. It's not something that it's common. If it's common, it's probably one in a million or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's in the same way that we felt when we were in the US. You're not going to see an African American dating some African guy. You know, it was very rare. You know, so it's the same thing.
But see, the thing is, now though, you are seeing more of it. That's the other thing, because I think now, I'm glad you actually brought that, because it's like now you're seeing. And I think, but I think the difference is here, the African immigrant population has increased so much. Is that, you know, perhaps in the 80s and even in the 90s, there weren't that many. But now there are so many that have come to the States that for an African-American woman to say that she's not going to date an African man, and the chances are at your job, there are African men. So then you will literally be reducing the eligible men.
So the chances.
Exactly. So, you know, those barriers were broken down. And so though there are still tensions that exist, and I do think that there are still issues that are there between African and African-American communities. But I think that with the influx of so many Africans to the States, and then so many Africans kind of getting into positions in the media, and so you're seeing so many people, and so that it's such a normalized thing that it has now become, those conversations came up, and they continue to come up, and we continue to have them. Conversations are happening online, in the classroom, you know, tensions between Africans and African-Americans, you know, divisions. And so we are hashing them. And I think part of that is a very American thing. Americans love to kind of like, let's debate it. Let's discuss it. Let's, you know, address it, deal with it. Let's have a class about it. Whereas other places, they just, no, let's not. It's there. We know it's there, but we don't need to talk about it.
Luckily for us in South Africa, and there are no tensions between blacks like me and colored. There are no tensions. It's a question of, I guess, it's preference that it's not common to see a colored person dating an African. It's just not common. And I don't think we have seen anything wrong. The only thing that I see wrong is when they vote, when they don't vote African parties, led political parties. That, for me, I don't understand. And the reason why we have never been able to achieve a two-thirds majority in this country, I think we did, Mandela, I think. But that we have, since then, we've never been able to achieve a two-thirds majority because we don't have the colored vote. The colored vote still goes to the white political parties, and it's unfortunate because they have more problems that that could be addressed if they've just given that vote to a black political party. You know, because it doesn't mean that because they are in Cape Town they enjoy any political rights. As much as Cape Town is led by a white party, they are still not enjoying the fruits. Not that we are all enjoying the fruits of our freedom, but they are not enjoying the fruits of freedom for the party that they vote for.
Yeah,
and that's just unfortunate. I mean, it's like I can never understand how an African American would vote as Republican in the U.S., but it happens.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so just like, wow.
One of the other things that's interesting is the experiences of Africans from other parts of the continent in South Africa. So, you know, I know within hip hop, there are a few artists who are, you know, whose families are from outside of South Africa. You know, I know Tumi's family is from outside in Bruges. Tumi?
No, he's not. That is not.
Really? So I was told his family
Zabs,
is...
Zabs,
okay.
Zabs is from Zimbabwe.
Okay.
But he's been part of the mainstream hip hop ever since, well loved and respected. Tumi, the parents came from exile.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So there are South Africans who were living in exile.
In exile, and, yes. But it also took a long time for him to be accepted. And I also think for him, it was more the language issue. Because again, he could have perceived as those sub-up kids who speak better English and all of that. And he was not immersed in the township culture like some of us who grew up in the township. But I think after a while, I've heard him speaking now at the Venek. I used to think that he couldn't speak Venek, you know?
Okay.
But I've heard him speak. Mm.
No, but then I know Rouge, the female artist, her family is from, I think, the Congo. And I believe I remember listening to some of her songs, and I thought I remember her mentioning it in one of her lyrics that her family was from the Congo. But is that something that is, makes it, I guess, I don't know. I don't want to say difficult, like as if that's a bad thing, because I know like in the States, it's not easy for international artists to make it big in the mainstream. So it's not surprising. So I'm wondering how easy is it for international artists or artists whose families are not South African or who maybe migrated there from other areas. Is there an additional hurdle that they have to overcome? So I know you mentioned in terms of being able to kind of speak the language issue, I guess is something that they have to deal with, but is that another barrier?
No, I mean, for instance, I'm hearing it for the first time from you that Rouge is from the Congo. It's not an issue. I don't even think a lot of people know that, funny enough. I think also because rap is English by nature in South Africa. So it's not like you are expected to rap in any other language. You are expected to rap in the language that you are of your identity. And that's just what it is. There's been people who have done very well in this country who are not necessarily, for instance, Dave from who started Cashless Society is from Botswana, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, was well entrenched in hip hop in South Africa. I think maybe it's because hip hop is considered to be an import by nature. So.
Okay.
You wouldn't expect, yeah, because it is an import.
Yeah, that makes sense.
By nature itself.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This is actually really, been very informative because there's a lot, I think, that I think South African hip hop, it goes back so far. It's old. I mean, it's been, you know, it's one of the older hip hop scenes and it's so, you know, it's definitely, it's a large hip hop scene. You know, in terms of commercial success, artists, you know, there are a lot of artists that are able to eat well in South Africa, you know, compared to other countries on the continent. There's, you know, all these kind of major industries, MTVs there and other major labels and everything. So I think it's a huge hub for African hip hop or hip hop on the continent in general.
At a personal level, it makes me very proud because the respect that I have for mainstreaming hip hop, as I mean in our earlier conversation when I started, I said to you that Kwaito was big, hip hop was just nothing, you know, you could not even have 200 people at a hip hop concert.
Mm.
You would have thousands at a Kwaito, thousands, you know, and now it's the other way around. So when we gambled with hip hop, and when I said to Carlo, forget, you've missed the Kwaito boat, hip hop is the future. It was just for my own selfish interest, not because of commercial reasons. I just wanted South Africa to listen to what young people were saying. You know, and that's why I've been so harsh on them to say, you've got the mic, but I know, I don't think you're addressing the issues that you should be addressing with the mic that you have, especially because you've got the ear, you've got a huge following. But your narrative is still not addressing the gender-based violence issues. One of the things that I see, maybe it's because I'm old, is it's just the need for young people to go to school. You don't understand how I get so worried when a 17-year-old, 16-year-old sends me a message. I get messages, I'm a rapper, blah, 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 blah. The first question I ask, are you at school? What do you intend to do beyond high school? Because rap, yes, you can be a skilled rapper and everything, but you're not going to be a rapper when you are 40 or 50, very few. What else are you going to do? And I tell them that if you research most of the African-American rappers, they've got college degrees. And here, it's an unfortunate situation here that because TV is such a big lie, that every kid wants to rap. And they think that there's nothing else to do other than just rap and drop a video and da-da-da-da-da. And then, but because I'm old enough to know the pitfalls, I try and always encourage them to. I'm not saying stop rapping, but never drop out of school because of rap.
Yeah.
I would rather have somebody who's taken out of work because they've become so popular that they cannot juggle the two, because they are always forever on the road and they're forever performing. But there are people who actually don't even want to look for work because they want to rap. But you don't know whether you're going to break this year or in 10 years' time, or whether you're going to break anyway. And as I'm talking to you, I think in South Africa, for the kind that I speak for, I think rap has become a curse to young people.
Yeah.
That's just my feeling.
I mean, because of like the marketing of the materialism in hip hop. And so
I would rather have more engineers, more doctors and lawyers than rappers.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, there is, in talking to artists, you know, we often, just in talking to artists and either informally or through the show, especially the ones that are not kind of really in their careers or have not really kind of, are really trying to get their careers to take off or find their identity, I guess, as artists, there is still this idea that if I can make it in the States, or if I can get there, if I can get heard and I can blow up. And it's sometimes it's hard to really be the one to say that you really need to, that can't be your focus. And that you really, that should not be the focus.
Of course, if you are explastas, you could, because you're offering something totally different.
Yeah.
You know, now you can't go to America and rap like them. Mm-hmm. And expect to break.
Yeah.
It's got to be something that is ethnically influenced and culturally influenced by where you come from, the sound and everything else. But the moment you're going to go there, and I mean, I remember my son went and spent 12 months in LA. I think he's a good rapper in terms of rap as an art form. And I said to him, I sent him a message. I said, remember, you're from South Africa and you are Zulu. So how you position yourself in the US is going to determine whether you're going to succeed or not. And then he just sent me a WhatsApp and says, you're not going to try and turn me into a Lady Smith Black Mamba, or do you? And I was like, I'm not going to say a word. I kept quiet. Now, I think the reason why Nigerians are doing better is because the sound is different. I mean, I could be hearing a sound from behind me. I would know that it's from Nigeria. Now, can you say to me that the sound in South Africa from a hip hop element is different? No, it's not. Mm-hmm. They could rap in Vanek, and that's as far as it goes. And that's why they're not going to break in the US or anywhere else.
Yeah.
Until they fuse. You know, I always say to them, if you are Sotho, what is that traditional Sotho instrument that the Sotho's are known for?
Yeah.
If you are Tswana, what is it? If you are Zulu, what is that thing that is Zulu? Because you're not going to succeed because you're rapping in the vernacular only. That doesn't work like that in music.
And it's one of the reasons, you know, even like looking at the what you're talking about, the stories you're telling that should be uniquely South African. Because if you're rapping about, you know, living certain lifestyles, materialistic lifestyles, I mean, they have that here. And I remember like just recently Kanye Mavi's work and how she incorporated some, and I had to actually do some research in terms of some traditional Tulsa like songs and music, and found that she was kind of incorporating that into her music. And I was even more impressed that that's what she was doing. And she was incorporating the culture and everything into the music. And, you know, it makes it different, and it makes it, you know, even though I have no idea what she's saying, yes, but I love listening to it.
Feel it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's what I used to say about Dumi. Mm-hmm. I was like, I mean, Dumi did very well, especially in France. He had a good agent. But if I was abroad and I was there and he's performing, and it's quite, it was more than one occasion that I've been abroad where Dumi was performing. There was nothing South African about it, except he had a good band, very good band, and he's a good rapper, you know? But there was nothing that sounded South African. And we're not going to break artists up all over the world if the sound doesn't change and reflect who we are, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's very tough.
Well, thank you so much. This has definitely been very, very enlightening. And yeah, this is great conversation. And I'm, you know, I've been hoping that you are publishing more on this, because, you know, like I think I've said to you before that there are certain things, you know, I recognize that, well, I think it's important that all scholars know what is theirs to tell and what isn't. And I feel like there's a lot there that is not mine to tell. I feel like, you know, there's some scholars that are just like, you know, they don't care. They just kind of go and take and, you know, publish, and don't mind that there are scholars on the ground who are better positioned to tell those stories. And so I think every time I speak to you, I'm just like, oh, I think there's just so much content there. So I am looking forward to all that you publish.
I'm forever writing. And my life, I was telling a colleague of mine that, you know, this thing of being a scholar, you would think that you've got like free time. But there's no free time. You're always in front of the computer writing something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on two books now. But I have that chapter on the language identity and hip-hop in Cape Town. I just need to revisit. It's an article. I remember I was debating which one I should give to you. But I thought that one, I still need to do more work. So it's there. I don't think it needs to go into a special edition or something. Should just part of my submission, and I will look at it and see where it gets out, you know.
Okay, well, you know, just FYI, I'm actually meeting on Monday with the main editor over at the Journal of African Cultural Studies. She wants to do a special issue on language and hip-hop in Africa,
so. Let me know that one is it's almost there. I guess I will have to expand a bit, because I think the issue of the Motswako and the Zulu and the Cape Town, the Afrikaps, as they call it, could be a very interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just to broaden the paper a bit.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Let me stop it here.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. When everything opens, I will come to Howard University one day, you know.
Yes, you're very, very welcome.
Yeah, we used to be envious of people studying there when I was at Lincoln. Even though I still think Lincoln was great. Thank you so much. Dreadlock, backstage, pop, muffin a bush. Leaked up a sun, kumbula, I'm the king of Kush. I'm a black, but I'm back, I let my king of Boris. Tell a panting ignorance, a song is this one in this. So, my ignorance, if I put my ignorance, let him put the move to Jesus. Tell us a yummy, if I was an ignorance.